Well, a priest was giving a tour of the church to the second grade catechism class, and he explained the stained glass windows, the stations of the cross, the statues, the tabernacle, and then they got to the crucifix. And the priest looked up at the crucifix and asked the children, "What do those four letters stand for, the I-N-R-I, that you see on every crucifix?" A little second-year-old girl raised her hand and says, "I know, Father. They stand for in Rhode Island." Well, of course, today is the feast day of Christ the King, and those four letters stand for Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. In the ancient languages, they didn't have the letter J, so the I stands for Jesus, the N, Nazareth, where he was raised, and then the R is for the word Rex. All the kids know Tyrannosaurus Rex, right? The king of the dinosaurs. Rex means king. And then the last letter, I, also stands for a J for the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And that was put on the cross by Pontius Pilate, sort of as a mockery. And of course, if you read scripture, you'll notice that it was actually written in three languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, because it says the place of Calvary was at a place where there were many people traveling, and so you had people that could read those three languages. If you watch some of the good movies about the sufferings of Jesus, like The Passion of the Christ, you'll see that that plaque was much larger because it had to be written in those three ancient languages. So Jesus was proclaimed the King of the Jews. So today, of course, is the feast day of Christ the King of the universe. And the particular gospel that the church wants us to focus on today is the crucifixion, where Jesus was conversing with the two thieves. One we call the good thief. The tradition says his name was Saint Dismas. Saint Dismas was on Jesus' right, according to tradition. He's the one who accepted Christ. The thief on the left, we don't know his name, but he rejected Christ. And so we see in today's gospel that everybody at first was sneering at Jesus and jeering at him. It says first the rulers began to sneer at Jesus and say, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God." So the religious leaders, this was the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, were sneering at Jesus. And then the pagans, were also mocking Jesus and jeering at him, saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." And they offered him sour wine in mockery. And then it says, one of the criminals, the one to the left, tradition has it, was also reviling Jesus. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." And as the great Bishop Sheen said, that the one thief wanted to be taken down, the other thief wanted to be taken up to heaven. And so they were all saying, "If you're truly the Son of God, come down from that cross." And again, Bishop Sheen says, "It's human to come down, it's divine to just hang there." So Jesus, the Son of God, was hanging on the cross, redeeming the world and saving us from our sins. So the one criminal reviled Jesus, but then the one on his right defended him. And he spoke up for him and he rebuked the other criminal and says, "Don't you have any fear of God? You're about to die within a few hours. This man has done nothing wrong. We're being condemned justly because of our crimes, because of our sins. But this man, Jesus, has done nothing criminal." Notice this conversion that takes place in the man who's called the good thief. And I would have to say that he perhaps should be considered the world's greatest thief, because he even stole heaven at the last moment. Now that's a good thief, right? And how did he steal it? Well, he stole it because of his faith. He looked at Jesus, and instead of seeing a royal gold crown, he saw a crown of thorns. And instead of seeing a royal scepter, he saw the nails in his hands and feet. Instead of seeing a beautiful gold cape, he saw a back drenched in blood. And instead of seeing a marble throne, he saw a throne called the wood of the cross. And he had great faith. And he repented of his sins. He made his confession, admitting that he was a sinner. He accepted Christ. And that's why St. Dismas is the patron saint of deathbed conversions. He's also the patron saint of all prisoners as well, but the patron saint of those who find Jesus in the last hours of their life. The patron saint of those who become Christian or those who are saved at the last moment. And it's such a beautiful event that we see because it's an event of hope. And it's a year of mercy. Today is the culmination of the year of mercy, in which we think about God's desire to forgive sinners if they only repent and are converted and confess their sins. So God wants to bestow his mercy upon these souls, but they have to be sorry for their sins and show repentance of their sins. That's what this good thief did. He confessed his sins, he accepted his penance, his sufferings that he was enduring, and he offered them up in reparation for his sins, and he trusted in the mercy of God, in the mercy of Jesus Christ. And he defended Christ, he stood up for him. And Jesus says, if you'll stand up for Christ, then he will stand up for you. If you acknowledge Christ, then he will acknowledge you on the last day. And then it says, he turned to Jesus and he uttered a prayer. This was certainly his last prayer because he was about to die. But you know what? It might have been his first prayer. It might have been his only prayer. This might have been the only time that this thief ever prayed. And he says, a most beautiful prayer, which we should say every day. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me. When you receive communion, say, Jesus, remember me when I come before you on judgment day at the moment of my death. Jesus, remember me. And he calls him a king. Isn't that amazing that he had such great faith to call him a king? There's a beautiful passage from St. John Chrysostom, and he wrote these words about the year 400 AD. He says, this robber stole paradise. No one before him ever received such a promise. Not Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Moses or the prophets or the apostles. The thief pressed in before all of these, but his faith also surpassed theirs. He saw Jesus tormented and adored him as if he were in glory. He saw Jesus nailed to a cross and petitioned him as if he were enthroned. He saw him condemned and asked a favor of him as of a king. O admirable thief, thou didst see a crucified man, but thou did proclaim a God. So what a powerful event we have today on this feast day of Christ the King. And it reminds us that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is a king, but he is also a servant king. He is there to save us from our sins. He's a redeeming king. He came to redeem us from our sins. And if you read the passage in Bishop Sheen's book called The Life of Christ, I highly recommend that book. All of Bishop Sheen's 100 books that he wrote during his lifetime are amazing. But perhaps his greatest book is called The Life of Christ. And in that, he goes through the entire life of Jesus. And he has a few beautiful insights when it comes to this particular scene of Jesus between the two thieves. He said it represents Judgment Day, because Christ is in the middle of humanity, and on his right and left are the saved or the lost, the sheep or the goats. And he also makes a good point about suffering. Both thieves were suffering equally. Both thieves were nailed to the cross. One allowed his suffering to make him bitter and reject God. The other allowed his suffering to bring him closer to God. Do you see the difference? Suffering in a person's life can make us bitter or better. Suffering can be our stumbling block to God, or it can be our stepping stone to God. These two thieves were suffering equally. The one on the left blasphemed and rejected God. The one on the right offered his sufferings in a redemptive value, He offered his sufferings as a penance for his sins, and it says he was saved. The thief on the left asked to be taken down. The thief on the right asked to be taken up. And then Jesus said the words to him, which I think are the most beautiful, comforting words in all of Scripture. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And that's the kind of King we have, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of the universe, who is the King of mercy. And so when you have loved ones that have drifted away from the faith, fallen away Catholics, or those that seem to be far away from God, pray for them. Don't give up on them, because today there is hope in this feast day of Christ the King. Because even at the last moment, this thief on the cross was guaranteed heaven at the last moment. And that is the incredible gift of God's mercy, which we have celebrated this past year during the Year of Mercy.